Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260. Today's broadcast, lesson number 2 of week number 18, studying Matthew chapter 18, part of a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. As we begin, these reminders. To access all of our materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For a list of our materials, email us at free@ighradio.com. For updates, text IGHFREE to 55222. That's IGHFREE, all one word. Text IGHFREE to 55222. Two great ways to study God's Word. Use our free, self-paced online Bible study program. Start today by going to igh.worldbibleschool.org, or you can click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study by mail, call toll-free 1-855-IGH-6988 to receive our free 30-lesson series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com. Let's get started in our study of Matthew 18. We were near the end of our chapter overview when our last broadcast concluded. We will complete that summary and then start our verse-by-verse, thought-by-thought study of Matthew 18. In Matthew 18:22-35, Jesus answered Peter's question, teaching in principle that our forgiveness of others should be unlimited. Jesus started his reply to Peter very succinctly by stating that 7 times was nowhere near the upper limit of how often we should forgive those who sin against us. To convey just how far we should go in forgiving others, Jesus introduced another Kingdom of Heaven is like illustration. Though we observed many such Kingdom of Heaven is like parables in Matthew 13, there are others outside of that context that also show us both the nature of that heavenly kingdom and what it means to be a Jesus Kingdom of Heaven disciple. A quick reminder, what Jesus taught in those Kingdom of Heaven is like parables in Matthew 13 was intended to change the thinking, the speech, and the actions of his audience starting right then. The Kingdom of Heaven was starting then, being prepared for then, and not just in the distant future. What Jesus taught, starting in Matthew chapter 5 with the Beatitudes, was intended to be a present tense reality in anticipation of the coming Kingdom of Heaven. What Jesus teaches in this setting about forgiveness was also a present tense reality that Peter and the apostles and all of Jesus' disciples must implement. Jesus' lesson about the overwhelming indebtedness of the first servant was analogous to our overwhelming sinfulness and lostness before a holy God. And the king's complete absolution of that servant's indebtedness corresponds to God's limitless mercy and limitless grace. But the lessons taught in this context did not just end with a depiction of our overwhelming indebtedness of sin, one wiped clean by God's unlimited grace. The final lesson centered on how we, having been forgiven of an unpayable debt, must demonstrate that same God-like grace to sinners all around us. Sinners who are equally indebted and equally overwhelmed because of their own sin. The failure to do so is a failure to be like God, and thus a failure to be continually graced by God. Let's start our verse-by-verse, thought-by-thought study of Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. As this new chapter starts, the disciples came to Jesus and asked him, "Who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Consistent with what we see in many of the opening verses in Matthew's chapters, Matthew 18 opens with a reference to time. The words "at that time" appear at the start of Matthew 12, at the start of Matthew 14, and here at the start of Matthew 18. Though the forms are just a bit different, two of them technically refer to "at that time" and one technically to at that hour, they had the same meaning, the same effect in their context. Though not at the beginning of a chapter, Matthew 11:25 and Matthew 27:16 use similar expressions in translation, the latter using the original term often translated as then. The expression at that time does not necessarily reference a specific time in the sense of a specific day or a specific date or a specific hour, as much as it indicates that what transpired here occurred in the same general setting as what was just mentioned previously in the larger context. That means it followed, how close or how distant we are not told, it followed the events recorded at the end of Matthew 17. We mentioned it often, but as there are 28 chapter divisions in Matthew, the topic comes up each time we get to the start of a new chapter. There are no chapter and no verse divisions recorded in the original text. Thus, what takes place at the end of Matthew chapter 17 flows naturally into what happens as recorded in the opening verses of Matthew 18. Nothing unusual about that. We see it and we mention it at the end of or the beginning of every chapter. Though the disciples walked and worked daily with the master teacher, though they heard Jesus' public and private preaching and teaching, and though they watched Jesus heal, Jesus feed, and Jesus serve countless others everywhere that he went, the apostles were still more focused on themselves than on others. In other passages, we learn that the words in the phrase kingdom of heaven demand that it's a spiritual kingdom, a kingdom not of this world, John 18, verse 36. Furthermore, its leader, its king, Jesus, was not of this world, John 8, 23. Thus, another worldly kingdom with an other worldly king must have disciples, followers, learners that reflect that other worldly mindset in their lives. What does that mean in this context? It means that the disciples were way too interested in this worldly matters, way too interested in focusing on self and not enough on others. It means that they were not following the master's lead. But if you have a misunderstanding about the nature of the kingdom, assume that it's more physical than spiritual, it's easy to see why the disciples sought some degree of greatness. After all, they were the 12 disciples. Yes, but beyond that, an elite group of disciples limited not only in number, but also in their very close association with Jesus. It was, according to this train of thought, quite natural to think that they were to be especially blessed in the coming kingdom. Surely this would include some measure of greatness in the coming kingdom of heaven. But, as we just mentioned, the kingdom of heaven was not of this world. What applied to worldly kingdoms did not necessarily apply to the spiritual kingdom of heaven. Yes, both are tagged, both are labeled with the same word, kingdom, but that hardly equates the two. Our job, our purpose in Christ, will center on doing things for the betterment, thus the greatness of others and not ourselves. Sadly, the disciples' quest for greatness appears as an all too frequent topic in the Gospels. For more examples of their self-seeking greatness, read Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 33, and Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 46. In both of those contexts, the disciples were disputing among themselves who would be the greatest. And, as if that's not enough, note that in Matthew chapter 20, starting in verse 20, the mother of Zebedee's sons, that's the mother of the apostles James and John, she came to Jesus and she asked if her two sons could sit on either side of the Lord when he came into his kingdom. There are many great lessons that Jesus taught in that context, Matthew 20, verse 20 and following, only one of which we note here. Jesus said, "Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." If the master was a servant, how could the student be anything else but a servant too? Do you remember the first quality of Jesus' kingdom disciples that was taught by the Lord himself in the Beatitudes? Yes, that's right. It was, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." That means that God would favor, that God would grace, that God would bless those who were well aware that before a holy God, they were spiritually disadvantaged, or, as Isaiah said it, they were undone. Seeking greatness, that's not at all consistent with a poor in spirit mindset that a Jesus kingdom disciple should have. Here's what Paul said about service and regard for others to the church in Philippi. "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Before pressing forward, consider these thoughts about the meaning of greatest as used in Matthew 18:1. Bauer lists five major definitions, and, as you might expect of a word that appears 264 times in 9 different forms in the New Testament, it has multiple shades of meaning under those major definitions. The five major definitions, greatly abbreviated here. First, exceeding a standard, usually with regard to things like mountains and buildings and so forth. Second, to be above average in quantity. Third, to be above standards in intensity, for example, great grace in Acts 4, verse 33. Number 4, being relatively superior in importance. And number 5, something unusual or surprising. For example, in 2 Corinthians 11:5, it's not surprising that the devil's ministers transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. Bauer notes that the term in this Matthew 18, verse 1 form was used at least 7 times in the New Testament, each time with this meaning, being relatively superior in importance. Interestingly, all 7 of those passages refers to this issue, the disciples' concern for their own greatness. It should not be lost on us that the 2 greatest commandments, summed up as love God and love your neighbor, that both of these great commandments inherently require selflessness and service. You cannot truly love God with all of your heart, soul, strength, and mind if you are always concerned about how great you are. Surely, compared to God, none of us are great. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew 18 as we close these reminders. To start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.